It's Lawrence and Taylor, 590 WKZO. My name is Jeremy Lawrence.
I'm Raj Taylor.
And I'm Michael Loudon.
The birthday boy.
Mm-hmm. They were not even saying Wonder Producer at this point. Because
yeah,
that's,
well,
you know,
this is a one-day treat.
Yeah.
Yes.
And he's actually here for his birthday, so...
Working.
Yeah.
Yes. And we had a call during news about Dot Sucks.
Yes,
huh?
We did. And the caller said that we should use Dot Sucks for government websites.
Ah.
I'm on board with that right there. That's.
You know, I thought about this when I was in the bathroom. And
thanks for sharing that.
Yes.
This really, I guess I understand where Rockefeller is coming from. Mm. This is really extortion because the company that's selling it, they don't have a real product. Everybody is going to buy that domain name mm-hmm. to make sure nobody else can have it. And this is just a get-rich-quick scheme by Vox Populi Registry.
Well, that's one of the registries that's, yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And this is just really, in my mind, extortion. It's forcing companies to buy a domain to keep it from falling into hands of people who would misuse it.
Well, the other part of that, though, that they bring up is that the company could actually claim it for themselves and be able to use it for feedback on their product. You know, so if you had like Coke or Pepsi or whatever.
So
then that
Coke
could
have
place.
A website that Pepsi sucks?
Well, no, it was more like that Coke could claim it for themselves and converse with consumers that don't necessarily like their product and be able to kind of help them out a little bit. Or if they have problems with their product, be able to take care of any issues and that kind of thing. I mean, it sounds puritanical and all that stuff, and I don't think that's what they're really thinking. They're thinking money, 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 money.
Yeah,
but
that's my thought.
But they did bring up that. So it is a possibility, however, Pollyannish. I guess.
Yes. Do you think Coke is going to take a chance that Pepsi might buy Coke Sucks?
No, I think they'd probably snap it up and proceed to not use it.
Yeah, bingo.
You know.
I think every company will buy their domain name, Dot Sucks, mm-hmm. just to keep it off the market.
Well, and I don't know that every company, because there's some out there, they're not quite as savvy as others. So there would be some that would slip through the cracks. And I don't know which companies it would be, but it always happens.
Yeah. But this is just send us a check for, and these domains are not going to be cheap. They're selling reservations for mm-hmm. that for $2,500
mm-hmm.
For nothing.
Yeah.
I mean, they have no product, no
that's
manufacturing.
Not even,
just send me a check for $2,500.
That's not even real estate on the web saying, this little domain is mine.
It's, yes.
You know what? If you reserve it for this, then if we get the rights to it, it'll be there.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, that's great.
Yeah. This is... That sucks. What can I say?
You know, but you could take this to another extreme, too, because you've got the idea that, okay, Dot Sucks, all right, that's probably out. But what about some of these other people that might do, like, say, you know, Coke Sucks or PepsiSucks.com?
Yeah.
You know, and is that something that's, and it's probably out there, I don't know. But is that something that should be, and should somebody step in and do that, or should that be up to the company to say, you know what? That's part of the deal of being online.
Yeah, I don't know. But this just seems like a scam to me. This is just a money-making proposition.
All right. You know what? We got Chris on the line from Richland. Chris, glad you're with us. Go right ahead.
Hey, well, I have a call-in show if you're just going to rip off my intellectual property. That's exactly what I was going to allude to, that you could do PepsiSucks.com or... Mm-hmm. Or CokeSucks.com, or even Chris from Richland Sucks.com. So, you know, in the end, it really is up to the consumer, in this case, the corporation, that is a little worried about Sucks.com.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you, at some point, you just got to learn to ignore the stupid and do what you got to do, because there's other ways around, you know, the sucks.com. And then what happens when the government, when Mr. Rockefeller decides he doesn't like, you know, some of the other domain names? Is he going to put a limit on those too?
Well, that's an interesting question. And first of all, Chris, let me just say this. It wasn't necessarily stealing intellectual property. It was you and I on the same wavelength. I don't know if that's,
okay.
I don't know if that's scary or not, but, you know, Roger's frightened. But
Pepsi Sucks is a Facebook page.
Oh, okay. There you go.
I'm just paid for the good people at Snapple.
Yeah, I'm just checking these things out. Let's check Coke Sucks.
Jeremy, I just have to say, on top of happy birthday, Michael, well, I missed you yesterday because we needed somebody to ask some insightful questions, not the kind that Roger was coming up with. What do you think of naming the potholes Snyder holes? I think was an original question posted by Roger, not brought up by anybody else. So I miss you on days like that.
Well, Chris, I appreciate your comments, and I got to say, you know, in terms of that, I got to stand up for Roger on this one, because there's apparently been some Democrats out there that have been trying to pin that name on potholes, you know, as if Governor Snyder is personally responsible for every one of them. So, you know, I'll defend him on that. I think that was a legitimate
question.
And
that was the first question I asked Mark Schauer when he joined me. Does he think Snyder holes is a fair thing?
Yeah, no, that was probably the most hard-hitting question asked of the gubernatorial candidate. So we need some balance there. Just saying that when you're gone, Mr. Softball there starts lobbing them at his lefty helpers. Just saying. Other than that, I love him. Roger.
I'm looking up Chris from Richland Sucks as we speak.
Uh-oh. I already bought it.
Oh,
there we go. He's covered all the bases.
Yeah. Chris, he's shrewd.
In case my call-in career takes off, I just want to protect myself.
Oh, there you go. Makes sense. Chris, thanks for calling in. We appreciate
it. See you guys.
All right.
There is a Coca-Cola Sucks Facebook page as well. It's called Coca-Cola Sucks, Pepsi Will Rock Your World.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Wonder who's paying for that one.
There are Instagram photos for Coke Sucks.
Ah, there you go.
Interesting.
Now, I guess I tend to think, you know, I understand that this is one of these things that companies are going to try to make money off of. I guess I don't have a problem with it to a certain degree. The thing I have more of a problem with is, you know, does the senator not have anything to do? Are there not things he could be coming up with? You know, I understand his concerns, but I think, you know what? We got unemployment problems.
But is this the tip of an iceberg to all sorts of domains that are offensive and can be misused?
What's offensive? That's the question.
Well,
though,
but
you know.
Isn't that sort of what government is there for, is to anticipate problems and try to head them off, not allow them to happen, and then after the fact do something about them?
It's a fine thought if the internet was owned by the United States, but it's not. It's called the World Wide Web for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, and I don't see the United States being able to step up and regulate much of anything.
How do you feel about net neutrality while we're on the subject of the net?
It's something I want to study more.
Oh, okay.
So it's not anything I've deeply delved into. I understand both sides, but I want to definitely read it up on it before I go, here's my view.
Okay.
So I'm not informed on that.
We should talk about that someday.
We'll see. Right now, we're going to talk with Dan in Three Rivers. Dan, glad you're with us.
Hi fellas. How are we doing?
Good.
Good. Nobody has even mentioned the depths of good taste here, and I'm wondering if the government, who was it, a governor that said that he didn't like the idea of sucks.com. I wonder if maybe he wasn't alluding to that there was just bad taste instead of the things that you've, and not to make any less of what you're saying. You're probably 100% right as far as the dollars and cents of this thing goes. But I just get tired of all the trash that we hear one after the other.
Well, that's what I was alluding to when I said, is this the tip of the iceberg in all sorts of offensive domains out there?
Yeah, I agree. I must have missed that, Roger. I'm sorry, but that's where I'm was the very first thing that came to mind. I just, you know, when you get to be our vintage, if you'll allow me to say that, Roger, it seems that we remember when, we remember when things like this weren't allowed.
Right. Now,
you know, the people are going to scream free speech and everything else, and that's fine. That's what our country's based on. But once again, I say good taste should come into play someplace. And I don't know that you can legislate good taste, that's just as stupid as somebody trying to legislate overtime. So.
But, you know, you're on to something. At least we should perhaps be proactive and not allow all these offensive domains to be created before we think about, do we want these domains to exist? Do we want children to be able to go to .sucks websites?
Agreed. 100% agreed.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you very much for the time.
All right. Thanks for calling in. You know, and I think it gets back to the idea, Roger, of what is offensive.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because while .sucks might be something that's offensive to some people, it might be just no big deal to other people. I mean, you could picture a company going, yeah, we suck, sure, okay, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and maybe they kind of feel like, well, we got big shoulders, we can handle it. You know, so would that be offensive to them? Maybe, maybe not.
I don't know that I'm concerned with dot sucks, personally, that whether that's offensive or not.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But this starts to get closer to areas that I could be offended if we have some really outrageous domains out there.
Okay. I'm sorry. I'm just reserving Roger Taylor dot sucks.
Yes. I just get in line.
Yeah. You know. But, you know, I mean, I understand the idea of it, that the tough part about it is, you know, who owns the internet? Well, I don't know that there is one owner.
It's not Al Gore?
No, it's not Al Gore. No.
All this time, I thought it was Al.
All this time that he took the initiative in creating the internet.
Yeah.
Thanks, Al. That's great.
He doesn't own it because he invented it?
Apparently not. So.
Oh.
And I don't think he even invented it. But, you know, that's beside the point.
Yeah.
But, you know, who does it belong to and who has dominion over it to be able to say, all right, this is good, this is not so good. You know, I don't have a problem with more extensions and that kind of thing because they've got the traditional .com, .net, .info. That's another one that's out there and various things like that. I don't have a problem with that. But, yeah, there might be a line you draw just on the balance of good taste. But it has to come from the organization that keeps track of that sort of thing, which is ICANN, the Internet Corporation for Assigned Names and Numbers.
Yeah.
So, and, you know, they're the ones that come up with this stuff.
Well, and I find myself in a quandary because I do have some opinions on net neutrality.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe it should be neutral, which means you can't censor it. And so I have firmly come down on both sides of this issue. Okay. I'm concerned over .sucks and other domain names that are in poor taste, and yet I believe in net neutrality and not having people censor free speech on the internet. The internet's value is free and open communication.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. That way you can go, you know what? I saw it on the internet, so it must be true.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Absolutely.
I mean, it has to be true to be on the internet, Jeremy.
Yeah. Now, I'll tell you what, I got some money coming from Nigeria, so I got to go. But we're going to continue ahead. Might even talk about stand your ground laws.
Oh,
this is interesting.
Yeah.
590 WKZO. It's Lawrence and Taylor. I'm glad to be here with you. You look like you're about ready to say something.
Nope.
Well, okay, we're done then. See you later.
That's the end.
See, I always surprise him. When he doesn't think I have something to say, I do.
So you had this thing like you were ready to open your mouth and say something, and I looked over and was like, he wants to talk.
Nope.
See, I'm being nice for once.
Yes.
I'm allowing you to start before I interrupt you. So
don't when I got a mouthful of water.
You've done that a couple of times very well, Jeremy.
You know, it's all part of my evil little plan.
I almost sprayed the studio with that one.
Trying to burn out your microphone. Yeah. Short it out.
Now, I got it off to the side. It would have hit the computer.
Yeah, we need a new monitor, apparently.
Yes.
So all your information would have been gone then.
Right.
All part of my evil.
Yeah, we're going to discuss item number 4 now, Roger.
What would that be?
See, he doesn't know until the end of the discussion. Yeah, that's why it makes it so perfect. So, we wanted to, and we don't have a lot of time to dig into it right now, but we do want to dig into it. So we'll start now, and then after the news break, we'll continue talking about Stand Your Ground. Because apparently, as a couple of days ago, there was a protest, kind of a rally going on at the state capitol. They want to launch a ballot campaign to repeal the Stand Your Ground law in the state of Michigan. Mm-hmm. And that's one of the things they feel like there needs to be some changes to the law. And they're saying, well, if you don't, we're just going to launch this and that'll be that. It'll be gone. It kind of brings up the whole overview of, you know, Stand Your Ground. Is that a good thing? Is that a bad thing? And you can look at the whole, you know, Trayvon Martin, George Zimmerman thing. That's one thing, as it was in Florida. But does it work here? That's the big dilemma that an awful lot of people would have on either side.
Well, and it brings to light ALEC, the Koch brothers organization that promotes these laws and multiple states, and
which automatically makes them evil in your eyes, I guess.
No, but it brings up a discussion point. When you have a national organization writing these laws and then distributing it to their clientele in each legislature, and sort of pushing their agenda. And I think that's a legitimate discussion point. And understanding the origin, the genesis of this law, I think is important, that it stemmed from the same push by ALEC that got the Stand Your Ground law in Florida and, 27 other states? One state, I can't remember which state it was now, actually the law, the bill they proposed was unedited from the ALEC file they were sent, and it said, insert state name here in the actual bill that was on the floor of the legislature in that state.
We'll have to look up what that state is. Sadly, we can't because they never inserted their name, apparently.
Apparently, so. Yes.
But we'll continue the discussion about it. You can be a part of it, too. Make sure you phone in 382-4280, 803-73 via text. Lawrence and Taylor, 590 WKZO. Michael's rocking out on his birthday over
here. Oh, yes. Yeah. He's a party boy today. He's going to have a Sprite after work today.
There you go. Yeah. That's his little way of celebrating.
Yeah,
you know,
party.
Actually, I prefer Pepsi.
Oh, okay. You going to drink it straight or with ice?
Oh, probably there'll be some ice in there.
Okay.
Well, of course, you got to have some ice involved.
Yeah.
This portion of Lawrence and Taylor brought to you by Great Lakes Waterproofing. Go to greatlakeswaterproofing.com for a free estimate before before the big meltdown.
Good idea. Good idea. So we've been talking about stand your ground laws that have been in various states, and you wanted to do a slight correction of yourself.
Yes, as we were kicking off this discussion, I said my recollection was there were 27 states that had stand your ground laws patterned after Alec's model, and I was incorrect. It is 23 states that have, and as you point out, there is a difference there. That's over half and less than half.
Mm-hmm.
But I was over by four when I said 27. There are actually 23.
Well, breaking it down to the idea itself, you know, I think the ultimate thing you're talking about here is, can you defend yourself with potentially deadly force if you feel like your life is being threatened and that kind of thing? I kind of like the idea so that you don't end up with a situation where someone is trying to rob your house and you're defending yourself and then you end up charged with something.
Mm-hmm.
That bothers me because I'm thinking, okay, somebody is invading your space and threatening your life. That's the kind of thing that, you know, I think, break it down, that's what it's all about.
The difference between the stand your ground states and the other states who have some laws in this regard is the duty to retreat. And one would think that if you're in your home, there is no retreat possible, versus out in public. With the Trayvon case. I'm thinking that if you're in your home, where is it you could possibly retreat to for safety?
No, I mean, you're not going to go run to your basement or anything.
Exactly. Yeah, you know. And so I'm thinking there is the clause that would protect people from jeopardy for what you were talking about, shooting somebody in their own home if they've broken into your home. There's no possible retreat, and so that's how you justify stand your ground, because you're in your home.
It's your ground, I guess. The Trayvon Martin, George Zimmerman thing, I mean, it's tragic what happened, certainly. And I think with George Zimmerman, I mean, I think the thing that he did that strikes me is, you know, that he called 911 and they said, stand back.
Mm-hmm.
Stay back from that. We'll handle it. Keep an eye on him, but stay back. And he didn't do that.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And that's the one thing that I think was involved there is it's makes it a little different if you're going up to check on this guy and get him to stop from his mischief, you know, particularly if the police told you, no, hang back. We're going to take care of this one.
Exactly. And that was my bone to pick with that as well. If he had just done this all on his own, but the fact that he had the presence of mind to call the police and they told him to not do what he exactly did wrong.
Yeah. Now, you know, and if he'd have done that, that wouldn't have got him involved in the situation to begin with.
Exactly.
You know.
Exactly.
And you know, hindsight's 20/20, and I would imagine that even he would look at that and go, yeah, I probably shouldn't have gotten involved in that. You know.
But then you see.
And you don't know that he does that. I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm just figuring privately.
Because you've seen some of the other things he's been involved in since.
Mm-hmm.
And a fuller picture of him has evolved over time here.
Now, and some of those things were actually fabricated stories that we found out later. Apparently there was a girlfriend that said, no, I made it all up later.
Yeah.
But not all of them.
Not all of his issues were made up.
But, you know, I think there's room for some common sense thing to be able to say that, you know what, you're being threatened, you know, your life is being threatened, severe injury, your family, rape, things like that. Yeah, you need to be able to stand up for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And let's face it, in some of these cases, even if you're not in your home, there's not much of a way to retreat if you get cornered.
Yeah.
You know, unless you have a safe room or something like that.
Well, yeah. But, you know, even if you're, you know, just say it's a back alley kind of thing, you know, okay, maybe you're cornered. Then there's a situation to say, all right, not backing down now because there's no place to go.
Right.
You know, but I kind of feel like there needs to be room for something like this. This is just common sense that you're going to want to defend yourself.
But what I would have liked to have seen is not rubber stamping approval of boilerplate legislation furnished in all these states. These were not laws that were written by state legislators, debated in the state legislature, and created based on that magic that happens when representatives actually craft legislation based on their state. When you have an organization that just passes out boilerplate legislation and then gets people, legislators in this case, 23 states to pass virtually the same worded law, that isn't allowing the states to craft legislation appropriate for that state. You know, that's a conservative mantra, is that we need to make decisions at the state level.
Here we go, pinning it on conservatives before getting done with this argument. But don't you think when they had the debates over these bills before they passed them, don't you think there was some debate that went on both sides of the issue? Don't you think that they brought it up, they talked about it? I mean, this wasn't done behind closed doors and, okay, well, we'll not even invite those people. We're just going to pass this, and we're not even going to talk about it.
I'm certain they talked about it, but that's
called debate.
It's different than crafting original legislation addressing the needs of that state, looking at that state's situation, mm-hmm. that state's existing laws, and there ought to be dramatic differences between legislation passed in Utah than in legislation passed in Texas, because those states are really different. They have much different demographics, and laws need to be crafted that are appropriate for each state, not just taking boilerplate legislation, making a minor tweak here or there, debating it for a brief period of time, and then making it law.
And you think that's what happened in every single state, that they just debated it for a brief period of time? I'm sure they had some knockdown dragouts in some of these states about that. But it's interesting, another thing that you pointed out here, the idea of legislation being written on a national level. And you feel like that's a bad thing, basically, that this is just kind of handed out and here, this is what you need.
Well, no, there's some legislation that needs to be written on a national level.
And I'm not talking about Congress. I'm talking about legislation written for state legislators, written on a national level. That's basically what you're talking about.
Well, when you have special interest groups mm-hmm. like ALEC, there's an example. We're talking about one of their projects. I wonder if the people of our country are served by having organizations like ALEC passing out boilerplate legislation and getting it passed in 23 of 50 states without the states actually developing laws appropriate for their state.
Well, it's interesting you bring that up, because there have been some rumors, and I don't know that they're founded or anything like that, but there's been some things flying around about the minimum wage petition drive that's going on, that the language was written by a national organization, actually. And I don't have any proof of that. That's just rumors that are flying around that I've read up on. So would you stand against that if it was written by a national organization that was not connected to Michigan?
Well, I guess it's a slightly different case because this is not going directly to law. This is getting signatures to put something on the ballot and allow people to vote on, and that's sort of a different kettle of fish than Alec writing specific laws and giving it to legislators who support their agenda and having that enacted into law
based on that boilerplate. It's totally different if it's petition language written by someone so that people themselves can pass it into law in the states.
If the people get a chance to understand and vote, yes, I think there's a subtle difference there.
There's the thing. Vote and understand on some of that stuff. Some of those petitions are written very poorly. And I'm not saying this one. I haven't read it yet. But
nor have I.
Some are written very poorly, and I think you can agree on that regardless of the issue. Because sometimes they just no means yes, yes means no.
Well, some ballot proposals are deliberately written in ways to confuse the issue.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Personally, I think some of these petition things need to be written in crayon. That would be nice. You know, but let's go to the phones here. Tom is on the line in Plainwell. Tom, glad you're with us.
Yeah, thanks for having me on. What he's saying there about the national, you know, these things put together on national level, you know, shouldn't be just passed through. You know, I'm having trouble coming up with an example on my own as to if I lived in another state, what's so different about how I should be able to protect myself just because I live in Ohio versus, you know, Michigan. If maybe he can come up with an example of why it's bad that they've presented some, you know, like a template, basically template legislation for Michigan legislation to consider, you know, why that's a bad idea.
Well, what I was saying is legislation that is proposed in a state legislature ought to come up through that legislature, not be written by private organizations in other parts of the country and just handed over to supporters in the legislature. It ought to be organic. You know, that's one of the conservative mantras, is that we need to make decisions at a state level because states are the crucible of change and doing things in an original manner. And
just because it originated elsewhere, I mean, it's still everything that's passed goes through the same process, right?
But no, it doesn't, because it was not written by Michigan legislators.
So if it's not thought up by a Michigan person, that's not a good idea?
If the legislation had come from an idea from someplace else, I don't have a problem with that. When they actually write the legislation out of state, and all our legislature does is stamp approval on it, that's a different matter.
Roger, maybe the legislators look over things and go, you know what? We couldn't make that better if we tried. It works for us. Therefore, we're going to consider this bill. I mean, is that possible that there was a review process to be able to say, nope, this works?
Who knows? I wasn't there for the debate. I have no idea what went on in the legislature, Jeremy.
It kind of sounds like you're setting up a straw man and then you're tilting at him, you know, because it's this whole idea of saying, well, this was a problem. I'm not sure totally because I wasn't there, but this was a problem and we shouldn't have done it because of that. I mean, it's an issue. It's an issue that was brought up honestly. And it was debated, honestly, and then it was voted on and passed.
You're saying that, but were you there for the debate? You say it was done honestly. Do you really know that? Or are you just saying that?
Do you know that it was done crookedly?
No.
Then why bring up the issue that, well, it's horrible that they've got this because it's got language from this and it wasn't written here? Well, maybe they looked it over and said, you know what? Looks good. I think this serves us very well.
Well, that may be a reason for you to vote for the people who took this legislation written out of state and made it Michigan law. When I choose who I vote for, I'm going to look for people who do original thinking and don't just copy propaganda that comes from special interest groups.
Tom, appreciate your call there. And, you know, I think I understand where you're coming from on that, Rogers. But the difference is, you know, we brought up the other issue. There's been some talk that the minimum wage thing has been written by someone else.
And so do you see that as a problem
so
if it's
seems
true?
To me, I if you're talking about that that's a problem, but you know what? Not for that. It sounds more like it's based on, well, because it's an idea that I agree with. I think that's totally different. Lawrence and Taylor, 590 WKZO. Just about a minute and a half left. We are going to go over here to Jeff from Richland. Jeff, we have just very limited time, so quickly with your points.
Yep. One question I got is who's behind this, and follow the money.
Mm-hmm. You've said that very succinctly, Jeff.
Told me I was short on time, so I wanted to get my point.
And you've done your job well.
All right. Thank you, fellas.
On that. Thanks, Jeff. Yeah. And I think there's something to that, but I think the bottom line is it something that is common sense? The idea that, you know what, if somebody's coming after me, I've got to be able to stand my ground and say, no, you're not going to take my life. You're not going to severely injure me. You're not going to go after my family, that kind of thing. And I think that's what it comes down to. Not necessarily who wrote it, but what does it do?
You're suggesting that people in these other states are at risk because they don't have that law, and I question that.
Well, I'm just saying that it's common sense, bottom line. Tigers tomorrow, we'll have a shorter show. We look forward to having you with us.
This is Kalamazoo's news station and Kalamazoo's home for Detroit Tiger baseball. 590 WKZO, Kalamazoo.